The Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I am a social coach. Let's role play something here, Sherry. I teach people how to do social stuff.
All right.
Not naturally suave, but I learned over time.
Got it.
Here's my new thing.
Okay? Yes.
So we'll role play this, but I just want to tell you in advance so that you can learn as you're listening. Paradox is where it's at.
For social settings.
Yes. Mm. Hit people with paradoxes.
Okay.
They love it. Gets them, that's just where it's at now.
All right, let's see.
So I make them think about that. So anyway, we're at a work function. You come up to the table. We're having some baby carrots or whatever.
Sure. Okay. Hello, Brant. It's been a long time since I've seen you.
You know, if you think about it, the last person to leave this room is also the last person not to leave this room. Paradox. So while she'll stand there, and that's the thing. She'll stand
dumbfounded.
There. Dumbfounded. Not, you might think, well, it's because she doesn't like you. No. It's because the paradox itself is really.
Yes, but isn't the point to have conversation?
So that's.
You've halted any conversation.
The point is to leave people spellbound and then do a walk off.
I missed the point.
Yeah, that's the point. Yeah, this is not good. I don't know if you saw this. It says millennials, 20% of millennials, so one out of every five people who are millennials say they have zero friends. Zero.
Jeez.
No friends. This is not good. Friendlessness, you're not made for that. I was thinking about this. I saw this. I was really kind of weirdly emotional about it. I saw this nature documentary. It was about elephants, and they were in the Sahara, and there was a dust storm, and you see this baby elephant turn the wrong direction in the storm and start heading off away from its family and community, off into nowhere, and they said he won't survive because he just made a wrong turn, and now he's by himself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are made to be social, but I was thinking about that, watching that. Again, I understand not having friends. I understand the struggle, but I'm telling you, it's not good enough to go, well, that's fine. I'll just be fine. No, you won't. You won't. We are made for each other. Big announcement. I don't know if you saw this. We've got a new fanfare, by the way.
Wow.
There's a big new game show coming out. They have just announced it.
What is this?
It's my new fanfare. The new game show that's coming out is called Don't.
Okay.
I'm not trying to be punny. I don't know what it's about, but the show is called Don't.
Don't. Okay.
So.
Well.
That has occurred to me. Maybe not called Don't, but I was thinking about a game show called Nah, We're Good.
Okay.
I mean, it would be like one of those talent shows.
Right.
And they would announce.
Oh,
this
I
next
like
gentleman
that.
Will. Sing opera while he's doing burpees in his CrossFit routine. Right? I'm like, nah.
Nah, I'm good. Even before he gets up there?
Right, just have one judge. Go, nah, we're good.
I would like to be a judge on that show.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
No, really. We were talking about friendship, and there's a real crisis. People don't know how to be friends. We saw this thing we were talking about earlier. One out of five millennials say they have zero friends. People are extremely isolated. It's a problem. And Jesus keeps describing us as sheep. I think that's so interesting in so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
Sheep. Well, one thing about sheep, and I did the research on this very day. I was studying.
It's freshly researched.
Yes, I was studying sheep behavior before the show. I'm not kidding. And discovering just how social they are.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus is describing us as sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And it says here that if sheep get separated from the flock, it can cause intense stress and anxiety.
Mm.
Isolation from other sheep can cause severe stress and should be avoided. It's like telling people how to tend their sheep, like farmers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, understand this. Relationships are hard, but if you're separated, you will have anxiety and stress like you wouldn't believe. And sure enough, as we get more isolated as a culture and have fewer friends, anxiety is just off the charts. Everybody's pumped, I guess, about this Fast and Furious Presents, Hobbs and Shaw, was number one.
My mom went to go see it.
What?
We've talked about this before, how she just has this fascination with anything Fast and Furious. She's going to be 74 years old. And she and she loved it.
She loved it. All right. Okay.
She's in that number, that box office number. Miss Bev is in there.
Well, you know, it was number one. It's, I just love the fact that it says Fast and Furious presents, Hobbs. Like Fast and Furious now curates.
Now they're presenting?
We curate only the finest possible entertainment and bring it to you. We've selected this Hobbs and Shaw program. So we would like, as Fast and Furious, to present this to you. Finally curated entertainment for Bev's enjoyment. It is time for a misfit moment. My name is Brant Hansen, and I wrote this book called Blessed Are the Misfits, and this is just a thought out of that, and it's for people like me who, frankly, are a little bit odd. I know it. I think it's good overall, hope. And you may be like this too, but what happens with a lot of us who don't fit in very easily is we can be like, well, this is just who I am, and too bad for you. Like, for me, I could say, I'm just honest, I'm blunt. So if I say something and you don't like it, it's just too bad. I'm a blunt person. That's not actually okay. Mm-hmm. I've had to realize that over time. It's not loving to other people, and I can grow up. And I suppose this is true of anybody, whether you're on the spectrum like me or not. It's like there are things we have that are idiosyncratic or different, but that's not an excuse. And I saw this too, this may seem unrelated, but I saw the dude that was just named the fittest man on earth. He won some competition. But he said what he has done with all his fitness stuff is he finds the weakest part of him and he works that area. And then he comes back stronger. And I think it's a really humble and really good approach to go, okay, I'm unnecessarily blunt sometimes. I need to work on that. I think it's part of being a humble person. And if you're a Jesus follower, it's part of repenting. It's like, I want to love people. So you know what? I have to change. I hope that made sense. I was just talking about like any great story, like Simba from The Lion King or something. Like if all he did, I know this is a weird thing to talk about, but if all he did was just, well, whatever, as long as I'm happy, I can be totally isolated. If he could hook himself up to a machine and just be happy. Well, in most people's construct, that's like, well, that's all that matters then.
Yeah.
As long as he's happy. Like, no. We need you to be something. Mm-hmm. Any great story, we needed you. It's not okay that you can just go, well, I'm in pleasure. Mm-hmm. I'm hooked up to this machine or I'm on this drug or whatever. No. You were made for other people. Yeah. And now we don't get to benefit from you.
Yeah. It does matter.
It does. Yeah. But that's what I think that's the biggest mistake in our culture right now. The biggest lie is that pleasure myth. Like, as long as I'm happy and I'm not bothering anybody else, then that's fine. Like, no, it's not fine. No, because you're not built for that. Mm-hmm. We're all sheep, and now you're out on your own on a cliff, and you don't even know it. It is time for Brant's three things, three hopefully helpful things today. It's about this stat we just saw. 1 out of 5 millennials don't have a friend. They have 0 friends. I want to talk about this a little bit. I've had to learn this the hard way. 3 things that stop us from having friends.
Okay.
Number one thing that can stop us from having friends, and it's a huge problem, especially with people my age and younger, and that is flaking. You say you're going to show up, but you don't. You say I'll be there on Monday. I won't. You say I'm going to be there Saturday, you don't. Oh yeah, I'll be a part of your thing. And then it's like, I'll opt out. You always keep your options open and you flake. I'm telling you, I know it seems unrelated. It's like, it's just this one event. No. It becomes a lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And keeping commitments is really important for being a friend. Here's another thing that keeps us from having friends is refusing to commit to anything. I talked about flaking earlier. It's when you back out at the last second. But if you don't commit to anything, like where are you going to intersect with these people? Because if it's
with people overall.
At all, yeah. Really. But it's only through, especially for my experience, it's like it's only been through shoulder to shoulder doing stuff together that I really make friends. We're engaged in a project together. We don't, like, that's why some friends will come from work, is because you're engaged in this project together. But it could be a church, community. But you have to actually say, I'm in. And then stick with it, because without that experience, you're missing out on that shoulder-to-shoulder friendship you could have had. Here's the third thing, and I struggle with this too, trust me, but that's thinking that friendship is all about other people pursuing me. Like, they need to make space for me, they need to invite me, for a lot of people, they understand it doesn't work like that. I actually have to have the initiative sometimes, and I'm the one who's actually pursuing and saying, hey, let's get together, or let's work on this thing together. And maybe I hit my head against the wall sometimes, but not every time. And that's been how my friendships have come about, is me actually going, it's not about everybody asking me 500 times to do something. So there really is an element of me taking responsibility in that. And again, I know that can be hard to hear if you're lonely, but it is a fair question to ask yourself. Am I just kind of waiting and complaining about other people? This is my favorite thing, crushing listeners in battles of knowledge. We call it Gladiator of Knowledge.
That's why people come to this show.
They love it. I emerge victorious. Mm-hmm. We're in an awesome coliseum. I'm dressed like Maximus from Gladiator. It looked very cool, by the way. I got the awesome sandals on, the bracelet things.
And skirt.
Actually called
it's
a skirt. There's a Latin name for it.
Because we can see your legs.
Doesn't make
pleated.
A skirt, just can see my legs. Okay. Anyway, so also, Angie is here. Will she dare take me on in this battle of wits? You get 20 seconds to name 5 things in a category. Are you ready for this?
Sure.
Okay,
all right,
okay.
So I'm leaving now. Here I go.
All right, Branticus is his name. He's leaving the Colosseum here. Are you ready, Angie?
Sure.
Okay, here we go. 20 seconds. Things you take to the beach. And go.
Ball, towel, bucket, shovel, sunscreen, sunglasses, umbrella. I can go on.
Oh, good. You got 5 seconds.
Other family
Three,
members.
3, 2, 1.
That's it.
Okay, good. All right. Branticus, come on back into the auditorium, the Coliseum, whatever.
To defeat the listener.
Okay, I have to tell you, Angie killed it.
Oh.
So that's just a heads up.
Trying to intimidate me.
I'm not trying to intimidate you. I'm just, okay, here we go.
Go ahead.
Things you take to the beach. 20 seconds and go.
Sunscreen. Umbrella. Towel. Little bucket. Little shovel.
5 seconds.
Sunglasses. A book.
3, 2,
beach chair.
Man, it's a tie.
Oh, no!
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, what happens in a tie? Just shake hands and kind of go?
No, I don't want it to end amicably.
Okay.
It needs to end in rancor.
We're so glad to encourage all the listeners.
All right.
Can you shake hands and be okay?
I guess.
Yeah. All right, nice. This is nice. This is different for our Coliseum.
Okay.
I still like your haircut.
Thank you. You can let go of my hand now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Sorry.
So thankful for everybody who listens to our podcast. Also, the guys at Fellowship Home Loans, they help people. They come up with creative ideas to help you with your mortgage or your refinancing. They listen. They enjoy their customers. I just really appreciate them. Mike and Brian are the guys at Fellowship Home Loans. They're fantastic. If you want to talk to them, you can. It's 800-804-SAVE for Fellowship Home Loans. We so appreciate them sponsoring the podcast and believing in what we do. 800-804-SAVE or, so simple, fellowshiphomeloans.com. So I saw this thing. It was remarkable because it was so similar to what Sherry wrote about. Sherry did this play, which was incredible. And it was a musical, all original music, just incredible cast, just amazing actors. You had Ruben Studdard in some of the performances.
Yeah.
And then
you came in there.
Against all odds. I took Ruben Studdard's role.
And you killed it. I just watched
thanks.
It the other day.
Oh,
yes.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Yeah, you
well,
did.
I just never saw that coming. Anyway, guy from American Idol, all that. It was great. So it was amazing. It was about two churches coming together. One's black, one's white, and trying to make that work. And I thought it was very funny. It packed out theaters. People, it was really a masterwork. And
I told you
that at the time.
I
was kind of like, well, why is she continuing to work with me? that was my takeaway. I told John Hamilton. I told our syndicator feller who helps out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why is she even associating herself with me?
Because That's a terrible...
No, you don't have to answer. Okay, I was just, I mean, I was literally, it was that good. I just want to underline it.
I appreciate that.
And the neat thing was the audiences were mixed in terms of ethnicity. And so it was roughly 50-50, I would say, overall.
Yeah. That was the key to the whole thing for me.
It was. Yeah. And there were really uncomfortable moments for the white people and really uncomfortable moments for the black people, and then mutual cheering. And it didn't shy away from anything. The characters, I think, represented things that people would want to say.
I think so. That's what I was trying to do.
Yes, because if you don't do that, you make people mad.
Right. That's right.
Like, you didn't address the...
Right.
So all that to say, I just saw something in the news, and it was about a church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa that's doing this. So it was the exact same scenario.
Wow.
They've decided they're mid-sized. They decided to cast their lot together. Now they're leading together. And then some of the dynamics are interesting, too. Like the white people realizing, including the white pastor, like it didn't... This is, again, why we have to listen, because you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
And so he was... He had never thought about the fact that for African-Americans, church is... a place where now we can huddle up.
Yeah.
And it feels safer. Yes. Got all these things in common. You don't have to talk. You don't have to work through all that other stuff.
Right. Because you spend your week working through it.
Right.
So Sunday, you're not anticipating that.
So it's kind of a home turf.
Yes.
Like, it's how you feel. And I think it's totally understandable. It was just interesting because he admitted, and I appreciate him admitting, like, I didn't realize that. Which is great.
Yeah.
I had to learn that too. And some of the dynamics of this have been interesting. One of them is they've had to figure out, okay, what do you do with music?
Oh, yeah.
But so far, it doesn't sound like they have it totally figured out yet. But people aren't complaining as much as tripping over themselves, trying to do what they think the other people would want.
Yeah.
So it's African-Americans trying to tone things down.
Yeah, right.
And, well, hey, you guys like it boring, so we're going to do it boring for you. They want sad. And conversely, which it's the Caucasian people going, well, let's try to...
hype it up a little. Throw your hands in the air.
Which is, again, yeah, that's real life. You got to work through it. And I loved... Here's the quote. And I'm going to have to enter my own... ID thing in here, my password to see my own notes.
Okay, good.
But I like this quote from one of the elders. His name is Edwin Hung.
Okay.
So he's from Hong Kong originally, but he's one of the elders. He said, "We still have discrimination and stereotypes and fear in Cedar Rapids. But I love my church because I know it stands for unity. And unity is the heart of God. We know the enemy doesn't want unity. We know the enemy does not want unity, and we know part of our mission at this church is to bring awareness of the need for healthy relationships cross-culturally, to break down stereotypes and to serve and prefer one another." To prefer one another, and he also acknowledges that the enemy does not want this to happen.
Yeah, and you've said it before, it's not a side issue.
No.
It is the issue. Because this is the identifier for us as disciples. That's what Jesus said. They'll know, number one, that you belong to me. Number two, that I am who I said I am. Both of those things they'll know when they see the two of you, or however the unity actually working. When they don't, then they'll doubt. And they should.
And they should.
Yes.
It must not be real.
Right. Because they're bickering.
Right.
Not even if it worse than we are. So, yeah, it's.
So we know some people do this. Okay, so that are trying. The church that we were part of in Harrisburg.
Yes,
is led by an African American guy and a friend of mine who is doing the hard work, and it's really, really hard.
It is.
But he's trying to make this a multiracial church, and he's been largely successful. But it's hard and it's discouraging. And so we know people who have gotten discouraged. And I just wanted to say, if you're involved in one of these projects and this is a priority for you, it may be what I was telling Sherry off the, while we weren't recording, was like, if something good was about to happen with the church, it would happen this way where we, because of the gospel, because of the cross and what happened, what God did for us, we actually bridged this gap and made it work. And because that's so key, mm-hmm. If there is a spiritual enemy, and I believe there is, mm-hmm. he would really try to be discouraging people right now,
yeah,
big time.
Yeah.
And he would use politics to do it, and he would use mm-hmm. the news to do it, and he would use perceptions that people have of how everybody else thinks to mm-hmm. do it. And mm-hmm. And he would discourage the people who are doing heroic work of bridging the divide and having to kill their own ego to do it.
That's a perfect word, because it takes courage to do it.
Yes,
and it so does. To discourage, to try to snatch away your courage would be something that the enemy would attempt to do.
And you're already doing something heroic, because mm-hmm. we know it's not good business to do this as a general rule.
Right.
If you, to be a gospel-centered church, a Jesus-centered church, mm-hmm. and the best business is to keep it safe and work in your market area,
yes,
and your demographic.
Yes.
And so there are some people that are willing to take the professional risk, mm-hmm. to take the shots from their own people of their own race, mm-hmm. to take shots from people like, so you are, in case you're a person hearing this who's involved in this, please know how much we admire you and respect you. And I know from having done jobs that are really hard, like, mm-hmm. I just wanted somebody to understand how hard it was.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I really, like when I was doing talk radio, I mm-hmm. really wanted somebody in my church, for instance,
yeah.
who was a believer, to go, dude, that's amazing what you're doing.
Right.
You're talking about Jesus on a mainstream station,
mm-hmm.
and it's working,
mm-hmm.
and arguing with people, but treating them fair. Like, that mm-hmm. was the goal. Like, this is killing me. This is yeah. so hard. I'm so drained.
Yeah.
Can someone say that? And so we want to say that. Thank you. We admire you. I want to support you more.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing. It's unity, 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 unity. And it's the things we have in common that forge that. And it's the cross. And this is excruciating.
The cross is excruciating.
It
That's
is.
Exactly
and,
right.
And it's so easy. Again, someone could listen cynically to me and go, well, you don't understand. Like, I know I don't, but that's mm-hmm. the point. Like, thank you,
mm-hmm.
because if you do understand how hard it is to forgive, say, me or mm-hmm. some, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
thank you for doing it, because I can't get my head around it.
Yeah.
But I do know this is the only hope we have.
Yeah, and that his word is still true.
Yes.
That's what that has not changed. Anything and everything else can. That has not changed.
Yep.
What he said, what he commanded, what he said the result would be, all of that is always true. And at the end of the day, that's all we have to build on.
So we're both believers who are like double down, triple down on Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. So that's both of us. So it helps my faith that you're doing what you're doing
yeah.
in a church environment like that.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me because
mm-hmm.
I want this to be real too. Like mm-hmm. I'm all in, chips in.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure doesn't make sense to me that if nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
And it sure doesn't make sense to me if people just go to their own corners and point fingers. And it sure does make sense when there's a leader, somebody in a pastoral role, mm-hmm. or somebody sitting in a pew, or somebody just going in the muck of daily life, and they're actually making this work.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be that you're a leader of a church.
No.
I remember a story. I was at a quote-unquote unity service, and I remember a guy saying that there, whatever thing was going on at that time, that was racial and culture. And he was just so frustrated. And he went to a church that was predominantly white. And there was a church across the street that was predominantly black. And he said he just walked across the street and knocked on the door. And a guy opened the door and they just started talking. And he found out they had basketball games every week. And so he got some of the guys from his church to go over there and start playing, and they forged this relationship. And these discussions came naturally out of basketball games.
Right,
you
right.
see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, you're doing something.
Yes, and yeah. it's now these group of guys who were within feet of each other
right.
are now every week they're together. And now you say after basketball, well, where are you going? You going to hang out? And then their families started being together. And so I just want to encourage you. And I know every time we talk about things like this, people will say, well, I don't know what to do. I live in an area where there isn't anyone that doesn't look like me. I get that. But if you are a person who feels that burden and you're doing something, you're like, I'm going to reach out. Yeah, we admire you.
Yeah, and it sure helps. Yeah. Because then instead of getting worked up about something, these people think this. Mm-hmm. Like, well, if you've actually got friends, like, yes. Well, you may know that. No, they don't.
Right.
Or not everybody.
Not everybody. That is right.
Like, they're telling me, my own
right.
people, uh-huh. so-called, are telling me that these people are, like, the relationship destroys all of that.
Yeah.
And then when you hear somebody say something from your background that you're used to, mm-hmm. and these people are your friends, mm-hmm. you might be like, you know what? I wouldn't say it that way. Right. I don't think it's fair. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, relationship helps everything. Big shocker.
Yeah.
We're made does. For it. So anyway, keep going. If you're discouraged, we are so thankful for you.
And we're with you.
So don't stop. Yeah. Let us know what we can do. If anything, if nothing else, just to go, thank you.
This has been the Brant and Sherry Oddcast, sponsored by Fellowship Home Loans. To find out more about the radio show or to order Brant's book, Blessed Are the Misfits, go to BrantHanson.com.